This is Eshin Akins, and welcome to Two Guys and a Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. This is Esh, and as always, I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Akins. Mr. Akins, how are we doing today?
Man, I'm doing great. Doing great. Just happy to be here.
Happy to be here. I'm happy to be here myself, man. I've been thinking about this episode for days and days.
Well, I'm glad to actually be making it a reality.
So, Mr. Akins, you want to jump right into the COVID-19 updates?
Let's get after the COVID-19.
Let's get after it, and we're going to move on to something else.
That sounds like a winner.
I'm looking at our state numbers right now. Currently, the last numbers I've seen, we have around, let's say around 5,400 cases and about 186 deaths out of that.
Okay. Which,
if you look at the big scale of it, I mean, you have a lot more flu deaths than that.
Oh, yes. I would imagine so.
Percentage-wise, man, we have a population of 4.91 million in Alabama, okay?
Right.
You're talking low numbers as far as that goes. Yeah, I hate to see 186 deaths, but that's a low percentage. In Alabama, out of 50 states, we're ranked 24th, okay?
Okay, and we're ranked 24th in COVID cases?
COVID cases.
Okay. Well, do you think the rural nature of our state has helped us out a good bit?
Well, I think it has. I mean, regardless of that, though, I mean, the people here haven't been following, they've not been following these guidelines. I'm seeing just as many people out running around now than I did before all this mess started.
You know, I've had other people tell me that. They say, Jason, I go to town and nothing's any different.
Well, they say you're not going to slow a Southerner down, okay? You're just not.
Yeah, about the only thing you can do is it is put out some biscuits and gravy, and that might slow them down for a minute.
Yeah, for a quick minute, and that's going to be it.
And that's going to be it.
So, that's not too bad as far as, and I hear people bitching and complaining about people ready to open the economy back up. We've got to get this country open back up.
Well, I think it's a different reality region by region or state by state. I think everybody has a different experience. You have some areas that have been hit very hard.
Like New York. New York is leading the country by a long shot.
New York.
They've got 263,000 cases and 15,000 and some change in deaths.
Oh, yeah.
But the closest to that is New Jersey, and they've only got just under 100,000 cases.
Just under 100,000.
Well, I mean, if you're looking at just under 100,000 and New York's got nearly 264,000 cases, That's a big difference. That's nearly 100,000 cases.
That's a good difference. Well, you have Washington that's been hit pretty hard.
Yeah.
And Massachusetts, I believe, is starting to get hard. And you have Albany, Georgia. That's Albany, Georgia is one of the very small, when I say very small cities, it's about a city of about 70,000.
Yes.
And they have just been hit really hard. But you have other areas that are more populated that haven't been hit nearly as hard. It's just a very, very much. It's like if it's bad where you're at, then everything's bad. If it's not bad, then it's just not as much of an emergency to you.
Right.
So I really think it's community by community, state by state. I really do.
And you're right. It is. I mean, on a national level, I mean, we're still under. Under a million cases on a national level.
Right.
We've only got about 188,000 cases and about 50,000 deaths.
Right.
Which, like I said, even on a state level with just 186, 50,000 is a lot of deaths.
Well, 50,000, you got to look at the span of time. That's 50,000 in just a couple of months.
Right. I mean, you're looking at, 4 months now?
Let's see. When was the first death recorded that we know of? For sure.
I don't recall. It was sometime in
January or early February.
Late January, early February.
Right. That was the first that we know of because, there could have been deaths before that and because there was a lot of, there's been a lot of talk about folks who were sick in the months of November, December.
Right.
And no one, you went through an illness in December.
Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely. I had the worst cough that I think I've ever had in my life.
It was pretty daggum bad. I remembered. I witnessed
I think I missed a couple shows because of, as a matter of fact.
Actually, you know, you did. I think you, one, you spent at the hospital.
Yep, that's exactly right.
You know, I mean, and I, you know, so, and I'm pretty sure we're kind of elbow to elbow in every aspect of our lives. I'm sure you probably passed it to me and somehow.
Oh, I'm sure, brother.
Well, you know, just I have from drinking unfiltered well water growing up, I have this resistance to most pathogens.
Right. You've drank everything Walker County has to offer drinking that well water.
Oh, I've had it all. I've had it all. And I don't expect a long life, but I think I might be able to avoid some sickness.
Well, you've made it this far.
So far. Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
So, Mr. Akins, you know, I keep up with social media pretty regularly. I think most people do nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen, and I'm not getting on here to bitch about nurses, because I think some of these nurses, they're in the profession for the right reason. They love their job, and I'm not discrediting any nurse for what they have to say. Okay, our brother Terry Cagle,
yes.
he got on a thread that this nurse that we all know had going on, and basically he's Mr. Cagle is stating facts, okay.
Now, is he stating facts or is he going to conspiracy?
No, these are facts because okay. I fact checked it myself.
Okay, I got you.
He's stating facts. It's no conspiracy. He's like, you know, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
And she just like, and then her husband gets on here and they're like basically saying that he wishes natural selection would take place. So people like me and Mr. Cagle with our ideologies wouldn't be around.
Hmm.
Now, I got pissed about that for a little while, and then I just let it be a social media stuff and let it go.
Well,
like I said, I'm friends with this nurse.
Right.
And I'm not trying to stir up any garbage. You know, I don't want none of that. It's her opinion, in our opinion, I guess. But she was stating facts about New York and their numbers. Yeah, of course, New York is it's a small city.
Yes.
If you're talking about New York City, so sure, they're going to have a bunch of cases.
Oh, yeah. The city of New York is like its own country.
It is. I mean, it might as well. I mean, it's you got New York State, but you got New York City, too. And it's like its own country.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah.
So, of course, yeah, their cases are going to be a lot higher than what we are down here.
Well, and there again, getting back to the rural nature, it's pretty easy for us to stay away from each other.
It is. I mean, if we want to. I mean, a lot of people's not, but. I mean, we're staying out of the studio. Well, this is our fourth episode outside of the studio.
We are trying to follow the social distancing guidelines. If nobody else in Walker County is, except that one person I saw wearing a mask today. But,
yes.
But me and Ash, man, we're trying to follow the rules, folks.
You know, I've been in Dollar General a couple times, and, you know, I'm just going about my business. I'm not thinking much of it. You know, I've not been sick, and I'm not really too concerned about getting sick myself. You know, right. But I've been getting dirty looks getting within, you know, like 10 feet of somebody.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, guy, calm down. Okay.
They'll run you back.
Well, yeah. I mean, some people have got ugly about it, and that's fine. People are scared.
I think that's what it comes down to, Mr. Esha. I think people are scared, and that's causing, you know, kind of the reaction from a lot of folks, and you know what fear does, fear kind of clouds things. You know, one thing I have to be reminded of this about once a year, because for some reason I forget it, but I got reminded of it myself. You talking about getting on social media and getting into a whoop-de-woo. I got into a whoop-de-woo the other night, and I reminded myself after that if you care about your mental health, don't get into a comment war on social media.
Yeah, see, I didn't even get involved with it. I just left it alone. I laughed. I read Terry's comments, and I read everybody else's. I just sat back and laughed about it.
I have found that when I go through, I see things that I want to comment. I want to put my two cents in. But someone told me one time, if you'll read it and then ask yourself, do I really need to put my two cents in on this? I've been able to say no a lot, but every time I give in and comment, I find that I end up spending a lot of time going back and forth with folks.
Hey, you're absolutely right, Mr. Akins. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a waste of time.
It is, because, you know, the thing about social media, and you and I have talked about this before, it I believe it really, because of, you know, we're doing it, we're sitting here in our living room and we're just commenting. For some people, and I'm not including you, because I've seen you on social media and you're usually a pretty polite gentleman. For some people, though, it brings out the worst in them. And they just, they get vicious, they insult, and they're rude in ways they would never be in your face.
You're absolutely right. And I like to call them keyboard warriors. You know, they're not going to say stuff like that in your face.
Oh, absolutely. And if they say they would, they're lying.
Absolutely. I mean, they can say what they want, but they're not going to.
Hey, brother, I have had people on Facebook, I'm talking, you know, stalwart members of the community, talk to me worse than any criminal we ever had in the county jail.
Right. I agree with you. I've seen so much crap on Facebook, it's ridiculous. Enough stuff to ruin families.
You know, it ruins families, it ruins friendships, and it causes people to make asses of themselves.
Oh, yeah, and they don't realize it, and they don't see it.
Right, they don't. But, you know, I wanted to ask you about this, because I think you're a little bit more up to date than I am on the current situation with the COVID-19. Do you know when the governor is talking about opening back up as far as our state in Alabama?
Well, as far as the way everything else is looking, everybody was kind of put in phases as far as when the states would open back up. And Alabama fell in that phase where May 1st would be the date that we would be able to start phase one of our reopening of the state. You'll be able to go sit down in restaurants and eat. The gyms will be allowed to open back up, stuff like that. Still going to have to practice social distancing, stuff like that. You know, be common sense, wash your hands, cover your mouth when you cough.
Right. So basically what you're saying is, the governor's saying, listen, we're going to go ahead and take slow, careful steps, open it up. But at the same time, you're going to have to follow some of these rules to keep everything under control.
Right. Like a soft opening of a business.
Okay. Oh, well, that makes sense to me. Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me.
Right, and that's smart, but it's time, man. I think tomorrow Georgia's opening back up. They're doing their soft opening tomorrow.
Well, now I'm going to have to say about Georgia, and you know how I am about good Governor Kemp.
I know.
Very rarely will you hear me say this, but I'm in agreement with President Trump. You know, I think that Georgia's going too far too fast, because,
well, you know what,
you know, I don't know. I mean, and I understand it. Gosh, I understand it, man. I'm one of the fortunate few that's been able to work during this. But at the same time, some of the things he's opening up, I'm like, you know, I just don't know if that's such a good idea to open up all those different kinds of things at this time all at once.
Right. You know, and I agree with that, but I also agree with what President Trump's doing. President Trump is letting the governors run their state and let them do it how they think their state needs to do it.
Well, I understand that.
And see, I'm going back, you know, in my opinion, as far as, you know, long, 1776, however long ago it was, that's what the Constitution was intended. The states are supposed to have their own power.
Oh, yeah.
The federal mm-hmm. government shouldn't overstep into that power.
Right. You have to have a balance of powers.
Absolutely. And President Trump, he's allowing the governors to make their own decisions on this. And I think that if he thought that it would be a hazard, like let's say if New York, for instance, they wanted to open back up tomorrow, I think President Trump would have something to say about that.
Oh, I'm sure he would. And, you know, which New York is, they're looking at, you know, like you mentioned, kind of a soft opening on certain things.
Yes.
Because I think they have been hit so hard. I think they've come to, and this is just me speculating, I think they've come to the conclusion, hey, folks, this is the reality for us. We're going to have to live with it and work our way through it.
Well, and like our pal, Mr. Cagle said, you know, if you use common sense And people that have, you know, lowered immune systems or are very susceptible to catching viruses or diseases, stay at home. That's common sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Quarantine yourself. Now, I will say, I think one thing that's been a weakness for the whole country, and it continues to be, if we had more widespread testing, it would be much easier to go further opening up things because there would be more testing. And if someone tested positive, they could be quarantined for 2 weeks and it would be more selective. And folks that you know, were not testing positive could kind of go about their business.
Yeah, I agree 110% with that. But, you know, and that's been the problem from the start of this. When this first started, we did not have the testing that we needed right away.
We have been absolutely, which we're not the only country. I mean, now you look at South Korea, they're the model for testing. They hit it hard. But our country and a few other countries, we were kind of behind on testing.
We were, and I think that they were trying to, I think our government was trying to figure out what the best route to take was going to be.
Well, you know, I think sometimes it's kind of like, and we've seen this in our former occupations, sometimes you can be told over and over again, hey, this is coming, hey, this is coming, but it's so unbelievable or it's so, you don't believe it till it happens.
Right.
And I can think of several instances where you and I both, I mean, we should have known, but we didn't really until it was just right there in our face.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, brother. And I mean, that's the way a lot of people operate. They're not going to see it till it slaps them in the face.
Exactly. And when you think about, well, our government should do this, well, our government should do that. Well, our government is made up of people like us. And you know, granted, you know, they make a little bit more money than we do in a lot of those positions.
A little bit, hell, a lot more.
So
they're making, I'm going to be honest, they're making more money than what they should be making.
A lot of them are, my goodness. But, you know, I mean, so when anytime you got people involved, you're going to have blind spots.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
But
I mean, I just say, man, it's time to get the economy back open. I'm scared of this. This is something that terrifies me about, you know, the state's been on lockdown, the government's been on lockdown. We're going to end up in a depression.
Well, I think it comes down to this one basic question, and this has been on my mind ever since this came out, is, and we as a country, we need to have this discussion in a rational, you know, just a real sense. How much sickness from this virus and how much death from this virus are we prepared to endure?
And well, we're gonna have to endure.
Well,
a
that's
lot.
What I'm saying. At some point, we're gonna have to make that decision. Okay, we know that there's gonna be a certain percentage of the population that is gonna die. Okay. And I know that's a lot of, some people may get mad at me for saying that. They may say, oh, you just been, no, I understand it because you've got family that's at risk. I've got family that's at risk. We've all got people that's at risk, you know, and so this is a very serious discussion and not one for just emotional outbursts where we need to say, hey, you know, what are we prepared to endure to get through this?
You know what, and I'm gonna break this down, and I believe a lot in pride and the American spirit. By God, people, we are Americans. We have faced a lot more awful shit than this virus. I'm convinced as an American myself, there's nothing the people of America can't endure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we've endured much worse than this. Much worse than this,
and we're gonna get through this just like we had did SARS, H1N1, and all that other crap.
Oh yeah, we are, and real, and you know, I mean, it may be it's lost on some people when you start talking history, but history is a very real subject. When you look at the 1917, 1918 Spanish flu pandemic, it was wiping out entire families.
Oh, yeah, taking out towns.
Taking out towns. And had it gone for another year, you could have seen the entire country collapse.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be a good show for us to do sometime, just a retrospective on the Spanish flu.
A show on the history of it. That'd be great.
So, I look at that, and to be honest with you, I thank God that this virus is not more deadly than what it is. Because if it were, it would be chaos.
Well, I mean, in some areas it is chaos.
In some areas it is, and God bless them. I know they're going through it. I know they are. And we've been so very fortunate to be spared to this point. So I don't want to say, well, it's been good for everybody, because I know it hasn't. There's been a lot of suffering. But, I'm thankful that it doesn't have, what did they say? It has a 2.9% fatality rate. Was that correct?
I think it's 1.9%.
I'm thankful it's not 5%.
Oh, 5% would be catastrophic.
It would be catastrophic. I mean, you could see some, we haven't had to live through anything like that in the past century.
No doubt. And I mean, and this is a big deal for a lot of things. Kids are not getting to finish school like we discussed on our last episode. The next school year is going to be difficult because teachers are going to have to reassess things and replan how they're going to teach.
Well, and it exposes too. You have a lot of kids, and I know when I say this, you're going to say, well, hell, you're in the same boat there, Aikens. You got a lot of kids that don't have access to the internet in rural areas.
Absolutely.
And then also, let me ask you this. This is just a point of, I've been wondering about this. People have been posting their old senior portraits on Facebook, and they've been saying, we're doing this in support of the class of, 2020 or 2019?
Yeah.
Now, and God bless them for doing it, and I like seeing some of those old pictures. But let me ask you, Mr. Esch, how in the world, if you're a senior that's lost your senior year, how's that going to help you? Because it's almost like saying, look at what I had. Look at my great senior picture. You'll never get it.
Right. Basically, they're saying, look, I graduated. I did it the right way. You're not getting to. It's kind of a slap in the face of the class of 2020.
Think it is. I think when you look at it and you break it down, it's like, wait a minute, maybe this wasn't such a great idea.
Right. And I mean, I know it's all in fun, okay?
Oh, it's in fun.
But you're right. It's a slap in the face to the class of 2020.
It totally is. I think it is. I mean, because it's just making it, for kids who don't have those senior portraits, are not going to have the prom. Mm-hmm. It's like saying, hey, look at what a great time we had. So sorry for your luck.
Right. So sorry. We went to prom. We made bad choices. We walked across the stage and got our diploma. Y'all ain't going to get to it.
Yeah, sorry, not sorry.
Right. I mean, I feel for this class. I do.
When you really look at it and you think about the stuff you did your senior year and what it meant to you, it is sad. It's very sad.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Another weird thing that I've noticed, you have a lot of people who are all from work. They call it the quarantine. They're not at work because things are closed, and they have a lot of time on their hands. And you see that all over TV, all these people who are doing stuff from home, even celebrities. Saturday Night Live did an episode where they did skits from their homes. But then you have the people who are out there working every day and nothing has changed for them. It's like two Americas. It's like two different realities.
You're absolutely right. You get these people going out. I mean, a lot of shout outs go out to our first responders, our law enforcement, our medical professionals, your paramedics, people that are having to go out there and do this job. And they're concerned about carrying this home to their families.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not going out there and doing it anyway, because that's what they signed up for.
Hey, God bless. Guys working the jails, the guys working in the Department of Corrections in every state, God bless them, because they are walking into the boiler room every day. And they, we're starting to see that once this thing hits the jails and the prisons, it spreads like wildfire.
Yeah, I mean, and they were already walking into a furnace to start with. Me and you know that. We walked them.
Oh, man, did we.
So, I mean, they're even before this, they were walking into a bad situation. Now you're walking into a bad situation with this virus going on.
I mean,
around.
Can you imagine?
I couldn't.
You know, and then you go home and you have maybe your wife or your child has health issues, and you're thinking, I sure hope I don't bring this home to them.
You're absolutely right, Mr. Eggins.
I mean, it's just tough. It's just tough.
But I mean, I'm ready to see our country get back to business as usual.
I think we're going to have to. We're going to have to, and take the necessary precautions, you know, as much as we can, and that we're going to take some hits too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
you're
that's
absolutely
just
right.
The way it is.
You know, I'm gonna play on a little conspiracy for a minute. I read this thing that's going around Facebook, and supposedly Trey Gowdy said this. You know who Trey Gowdy is?
Old Gowdy.
I like him. He's crazy, but this is what he said. You know,
he's got some crazy hair. I know that.
He does, but he makes some good points.
He does.
And I while we were eating dinner, I read this to my family, and he made some good points in this supposed thing that he wrote. I'm not sure if he did or not. But I want you to think about something. Our economy in the past probably year and a half, 2 years, has been at record highs. The stock market's been record high. Our unemployment rate's been the lowest that we've ever seen for all nationalities, not just a white American. The African-American unemployment rate is the lowest it's ever seen. Everybody's.
Right.
Okay, we've not had any school shootings. We've not had any. You get where I'm getting
at.
Well,
we've had some mass shootings, but no school shootings.
Right. I mean, nothing like, you know, crazy that I've seen on the news. Because I watch the news pretty regular. We keep up with Facebook. So current events we're seeing every day. We've not had any of that crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm not pointing this out at President Obama. I kind of am. But look at all the shit that happened under his presidency.
Well, some of that, though, I think comes in waves. In other words, if you've noticed, once something gets hot, even if something as horrible as mass shootings at schools, then you have copycats.
And then
it dies down.
And then on with my point here, you know, and then he goes on to talk about, you know, how, you know, Biden has beat Sanders out for the Democratic nomination. And I don't know where Biden has went off. I don't know if he's got dementia or what, but watching some of the stuff, he don't even know what he's talking about half the time.
Well, I'm sure he's staying at home and trying to stay away from everybody.
I mean, he's choking, and I think he shot himself in the foot for this presidential race.
Well,
Trump, I think Trump wins by a landslide this election. And anyway, Gowdy goes in to say that Sanders was kind of pushed away because he don't follow the same agenda the Democratic Party's following right now. He's following more of a socialist democratic ideology.
He's definitely more on the liberal side. But if you look at the situation we're in right now, you got a lot of people who would love a little bit of socialism.
You know, I don't want no part of it. I don't want no part of it.
Well, the $1,200 check is socialism.
Brother, I hadn't even seen mine.
Well, I don't know if we have or not because I don't handle the family finances. I let my wife do that.
Right. I've not seen mine. And if we get one, great. Yeah.
And then you got.
But if I don't, I don't care. If I don't
get
it.
You got folks who don't have any health insurance and don't have any health care. You know, that right now, this kind of exposes that.
You're absolutely right.
So I don't agree with Bernie on everything, but I do think on some things he's got a point.
But what he was getting at is it's this virus. I mean, it just came out of nowhere when America was prospering for a moment, and then now our economy is shut down.
Right.
Basically, we've got a virus sweeping the country. I mean, and then all this time they've had the failed impeachment. You know, they wasn't able to remove the president from office. They tried. And I'm not trying to play politics, Republican, Democrats. I'm just, this is what his little article said. That it's convenient that all this is happening now, 5 months before an election?
Well, I think, you know, part of what we're seeing in the country right now, and especially during a crisis like this, it really makes it dangerous, is the division. You know, when you have literally half the country that gets their news from one source and the other half of the country that gets their news from other news sources, and they can't even agree on basic facts, you've got a problem.
You know, Mr. Akins, I don't think the mainstream media knows what facts are.
Well, and that's the thing about it. When you and I were growing up, the mainstream media was three or four different networks. And now people get most of their news from cable news stations like Fox, MSNBC, CNN. And I'm going to tell you, there's not a single one of them that aren't biased.
You're absolutely right. I'm not going to disagree with that.
They're totally biased. You say, well, I'm just going to listen to the radio. Well, the program on the radio you're listening to is biased. You know,
right, because 9 times out of 10, that radio program you're listening to is owned by one of these bigger companies like CNN or an umbrella.
And there you
company.
Go. You see that of all of our news sources, I heard this several years ago, about 7 different international companies own, 7 different companies own all of our news sources.
Absolutely. And they're going to spread their ideology. And
exactly.
Their propaganda.
And they're going to say, okay, well, this demographic likes when we say this. This is what sells. And the fact is, it may be true or it may not be true. And so you've got literally the country divided in half, and they can't even agree on basic facts.
Oh, yeah. They could have facts laughing them in the face. And they're not going to agree on it.
And it does not matter. They're going to say, well, that came from that side, so I'm not going to believe it. Well, that came from that side. And so I think you're seeing that playing out in the way that our country is governed. No, it's an impossibility right now for them to actually work together and not attack each other. It's just unlike anything I've seen in my lifetime. I thought it was bad when Obama was in there. This is much worse. And I don't know if we don't get this under control. I don't know how we're going to be able to have a government that actually functions.
Right. Absolutely. Now we had posted on our Facebook page, Jason, asking some of our listeners to comment on how the COVID-19 has affected their lives. And one in particular, and I talked to him today, one of our regular guests that we've had, Mr. Justin Hatch, I found out today that he has actually been laid off by Mercedes.
Laid off?
Due to the COVID-19 virus.
Now, he was just off for about 2 weeks to start with.
Yeah, he told me today that he was laid off.
God bless him.
That he was looking for a job because he was talking to me about my job.
Well, you know, there are a lot of folks who work in the manufacturing sector. Automotives, things like that, that, man, right now they're getting hammered.
They're getting hammered hard.
And people, you know, it's all a chain. People are afraid to spend the money to buy those type of items and to go in debt because they don't know what's going to happen next month. And so that affects the guys who are working at the factories.
Right. And one of our other guests that we had on, Rachel, why don't you tell me about what Rachel said?
Okay, hang on. Let me pull that up.
I know she said, you know, she's working in the medical field and she's still having to go to work and deal with this stuff every day.
Yes, she did. I'm going to pull that up here. Just give me 1 second. Okay, here we go. Basically, Rachel said that she is still working in the medical field. She works in Jefferson County, which is where our largest city, Birmingham, is. And she said that she could see how much is impacted in that area. Her drive to work is there's much less traffic. She is concerned about things opening up until the end of May. She believes that right now things are plateauing, and for the decline to keep going, this was 4 days ago. She believes that we needed about 3 more weeks of quarantining. You know, she would like to see people complying with masks, gloves, don't just run out for the heck of it. You know, in other words, limit how much you're going out. She admits that it's hurting folks and that it feels like we're being punished, but she's concerned about folks who are asymptomatic and carrying the virus up to 14 days.
Right. And that makes sense. And that's something that we've all been preached to about, you know, you may not show symptoms for 14 days and there you are spreading the virus again. But if you recall the study that we talked about on maybe in the show before last, I don't remember, about maybe flattening the curve is not the best idea as far as quarantining, because it's going to take the virus longer to spread.
We could end up with a resurgence in the fall.
Right. And like we said, we've got to get things moving again.
Jason Robinson, he commented that he believed until Walmart, Home Depot, and the big box stores were shut down, that a lot of this is pointless because people are still in there in very close proximity.
Right. And I'll agree to what he said. If you're gonna do an order where everybody stays at home to stop the spread, you've got to close these big box stores down. But then again, where are we going to get our food at?
That's the thing. It's like a catch 22. You know, I mean, you shut them down, but then you have those limitations.
Right. I mean, is the government going to deliver food to our house for us? I mean, is that how it would work?
Well, you know, I've wondered about that. You know,
because, you know, I'm sitting here, and we talked about the stimulus checks a minute ago. You know, a lot of people hadn't seen their stimulus checks. Is you can't trust the government to send a check out to you, but you're going to wait on them to bring food to you?
Yeah, exactly.
That's scary.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a scary position to be in. There's no doubt about that.
Did we have any more comments, Mr. Graves?
Those were the most. We had a few comments from Mr. Cagle and. You know, basically, he just wanted us to know that he loved us.
We love you too, brother.
And then Philip Robinson, he left a comment. I'm not sure if he was half awake or half asleep.
Either way, with Philip, you never can tell.
But, you know, amidst all this COVID talk, how are things going with you personally? You doing okay, brother?
Man, you know, personally, you know, I've been on the job hunt. I'm not going to really go into detail about the job. I did get a job, but I'm not going to go into any details about that because that job's not going to work out for me. I'm most likely within the coming week going to go back to working with the family business for a little while. And, you know, the past 4 months have been kind of different for me. You know, we've talked in depth about me leaving the sheriff's department and, you know, I've put a lot of thought into the past 4 months, and I have realized that I miss working in law enforcement. Maybe not corrections, but my goal right now, I'm a firm believer in setting goals and smashing goals. Go. I'm going to get in shape and go ahead and take the test to be a patrol deputy, and I'm going to get back into law enforcement because I believe that's where my heart's at.
I was thinking about that today. I read your statement on Facebook, and I was thinking about that. And, you know, I really think that's where you'd be happiest.
Well, you know, I've always been the kind of person that I'm going to protect the little man. And I mean, that's just who I am, okay? I mean, I think that's what I'm cut out to do.
Serve the public.
Absolutely. And I mean, I thought about, you know, maybe even going into nursing school, but law enforcement's something I enjoy. I just got burnt out with corrections.
Well, you know, and that's the thing about corrections and people who haven't ever been involved with it don't, and even other people in other aspects of law enforcement a lot of times don't understand it.
It's a whole other beast.
And it takes a toll on you. I mean, a toll in a different kind of a way.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
And you know, I don't know if my parents listen to the podcast. Mom shares it a lot, but I really have to give credit to my parents, the way they raised me to be resilient.
Well, if anybody can do it, I believe you can.
Well, and I appreciate that, but that's kind of where I'm at personally right now. Man, I just, you know, every day I enjoy time with my kids. You know, I don't know if I've told you about the hobby work I've been doing on my truck.
Yeah, you've got that thing like the Knight Rider car kit.
It's pretty slick. I finally got my push button ignition installed, working properly. I'm going to add a door lock system to it. I've still got to change my speaker box for my speakers, but It's getting to where I want it to be. I've started painting the interior of the truck. It's just something I enjoy doing. It's a hobby for me.
I hear you. That's a good thing.
How's business going business, for y'all?
We have lost several thousands of dollars per month in our budget because of this. Wow. But we're very, very fortunate that we've been able to keep working and at least, you know, break even every month and keep everybody going. That's been going good. Been working a lot of hours. And then when I'm not working, I started last Saturday and tried to get, we've got about a half an acre that I've tilled up with the tractor to plant as a garden. And I'm going to try to finish that this weekend. The rain's held me up, but you know, we're trying to be a little bit more self-sufficient and grow some good vegetables to eat this summer.
We all may be doing that if our country keeps getting shut down.
I mean, I think there might be something to be learned from the old ways.
You know, and God bless us living in Alabama and being in a rural area. We have a lot of farmers. And us having a close-knit community, I don't think anybody would.
I don't think they would. I believe if people knew about it, that they would react. And I'm thankful.
Absolutely.
For that. Now, I may have to get your – I don't know. Have you ever put up an electric fence, Mr. Esch?
I have helped put in an underground electric fence.
Well, no, this will be above ground. It should be more simple, but I've got to put up an electric fence because last year I grew a garden and the dadgum deer ate all of my okra and my purple hull peas. I didn't get near one.
Well, buddy, I told you I'll come over with my 30-06 and I'll clear that deer problem.
Well, you're going to have to come out here at night. Because that's when they sneak up. When they know I'm asleep,
man,
they go out there and they have a party.
You see, that falls into a legal issue.
I hope Phil Miller's not listening.
Right. See, we can't be hunting.
No, we're
going
to have to do something. Maybe if he comes out, we need like a knife or a gun we can lay beside the deer and say he pulled a knife on you.
You know what we need to do? We just need to get with the game wardens in the state and tell them, look,
we got to survive.
Our
now, you know, there is, I found this out, for people who do farm, you can apply for a permit to kill deer on the basis that they're a nuisance animal that is eating your crop. So, yes,
well,
I may
you
have to do that and just say, well, I've got a hired gun here. And he is taking care of this, and then you guys will have plenty of deer meat. Hey, man,
right, and I'll share it with you. Right. So, Mr. Akins, I want to cut into some nerd news before we finish the show today. I've done a little research. I don't know what you've seen, but here's a little nerd news for y'all. There've been some updates on some movie releases.
Yes.
Speculation is Venom 2. Has been named Let There Be Carnage.
Oh, man, and they're going to have to do better than that, Mr. Esch.
I agree.
Okay,
it sounds good, but
they can do better than Let There Be Carnage.
They're saying now that the original release date was October 2nd of this year. It's getting pushed off to June 25th of next year. Now, what they're fearing is Spider-Man 3 was due to release July 16th, 2021. They're saying now, because now we're looking at a shared universe with Sony and Disney's MCU, that may push the Spider-Man 3 release date off.
They have to maintain that continuity.
So as of right now, Morbius has been moved to March 19th, 2021. So in 2021, we're going to have three Spider-Man-related movies. You will have Venom 2, Spider-Man 3, and Morbius.
Let me ask you this, Mr. S, since you brought this particular subject up, and I know you've been pouring over your research on it, do you think that 2020 is just going to be a lost year for Marvel and DC?
I think it is, but I think that it'll give them time to revamp, and by the release dates in 2021, we're going to have some killer movies that year. Because we're going to have months filled with great movies in 2021.
Well, it would be great every month to have something to look forward to like that.
And I believe this is going to be one of those special occasions where we do have that kind of situation.
Well, we'd be going up to Coleman every month, won't we? Every thing.
Every month. So 2021, Hellstrom is still coming. I know we talked about that in the past. But they're saying Hellstrom may not get released until later 21 or early 22. Okay, tell us a little bit about Hellstrom. Mr. Akins, I'm going to let you tell us a little bit about Hellstrom.
I am not as up on Hellstrom as I should be.
I'm not either. You know, we talked about it, and he's a part of what the Dark Avengers, is that correct? That is
correct.
So he is like the head guy, like the Iron Man of the Dark Avengers. Let's just put it that way. Okay, so also Hawkeye, Moon Knight, and She-Hulk Disney Plus TV shows, they're looking at a 2022 release.
2022?
Yes. And that's all because of the COVID virus pushing everything back.
Wow.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, I'm telling you, 2021 is going to be something. There's a lot of good movies going to be popping out.
You know, we were planning on, everybody was planning this. I believe this September was supposed to be the release time for Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
We may still be on track for that. It may be a few months off from what I'm seeing, but it may be later 2020 before it releases.
Man.
Also, I've been doing some reading on the Fantastic Four. You know, MCU Disney proper has purchased the rights to Fantastic Four, and they're talking. I'm not real familiar with the storyline, but they're looking at the inspiration for the MCU based Fantastic Four to come from the Ultimate Fantastic Four storyline. I'm not familiar with that storyline.
I'm somewhat familiar with it. I believe there are aspects of that storyline where different members of the Fantastic Four get the powers of the other members, and it just, you know, but I'm not as up on that. I know some of the basics on Fantastic Four, but I'm not as up on them as the Avengers. You know.
Absolutely. And as far as the X-Men, and we've speculated for months now that the X-Men and Fantastic Four will kind of get put in together. I'm not seeing any news on the X-Men anymore at this point.
But since you brought up the Fantastic Four, I did see where last week John Krasinski met with Marvel.
Awesome.
Hopefully they're talking him into playing Reed Richards.
That would be a great role for him.
It would be. No, you go ahead.
Go ahead. The last little bit of Marvel news that I'm seeing, you know, we talked about in the last episode with our little nerd news segment that MODOK would be making an appearance in Ant-Man 3. Well, now they're saying that the Young Avengers will also be introduced in Ant-Man 3.
So Ant-Man 3.
Which is probably slated for a 2022 release date, maybe early 2023.
That's kind of interesting how Marvel's using that franchise, because you would think that would be one of the weaker franchises, but they're really introducing a lot of stuff in the Ant-Man franchise.
And they are, and I think that the Ant-Man franchise has been creative. It's very comedy oriented with how the roles are playing, which a lot of the Marvel is comedy oriented, but Ant-Man is particular. It brings a lighter side to the MCU.
Great job with that.
Yeah, he's an excellent comedian. I love any movie he's been in. I'm not seeing any kind of Star Wars news. I've been trying to keep up because I want to know more about this Old Republic series that they're looking at doing as far as releasing onto the big screen. And I think they will be for probably the next year.
I think they will too.
I dove into a little more research on the Walking Dead movies. I'm not seeing any kind of release date. But now I'm seeing that maybe Andrew Lincoln won't return to the Walking Dead TV show. Okay. But instead, he'll be reunited with some of the other people like Carol and Maggie and folks like that in the first movie.
Okay.
Now, my understanding from this comes from Scott Gimple, which is one of the showrunners of The Walking Dead. The first movie is going to be a theater release only movie. It won't be a direct-to-TV like what everybody thought would go straight to AMC.
Okay. So they're going to put some money into this.
So this first one, I believe they will. You know, there's supposed to be three of them. And I believe the other two may be a straight-to straight to TV release unless the first one's popular and they can make money releasing them to theaters first.
I think it will do really well. I do.
Absolutely. So, Mr. Akins, I've shared the nerd news that I have caught up on. Do you have any nerd news?
I just have a couple of things. One, going back to Marvel, okay. There's a theory out there right now, and it's because of some things that James Gunn, the director, said. He said that in the Guardians of the Galaxy 3, they're going to really be exploring Rocket's story arc, and they will be completing his story arc. And he has alluded that major character in that film will die. So,
and it will, if they're circling his story arc, it's probably going to be him.
That Rocket will die in Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And also on the DC front, I have probably a couple of questions for you to see if you've heard anything on this. I know the production was halted on the Batman film. And I don't know when that's supposed to get started back up. I don't know when the release has been pushed to.
I have seen several rumors on that. You know, DC's been in a jumble for years now. I have seen rumors everywhere from, it's still going to be in production when all this is over with. But I've also seen rumors that they're going to scrap the movie altogether.
Wow. Well, you know, this would be a time for them if they wanted to reboot. This would be the time.
Well, you know, and it's all based off how, you know, Birds of Prey went. It was not received well.
You can already rent it on demand. That's how bad it went. You know.
Oh, right. So, I mean, there's my opportunity to watch it,
I guess.
What
about the Wonder Woman? Wonder Woman 1984. There was a rumor at one point it was going to be released on demand.
It may. Okay. I've not said anything about that. Now, my personal opinion on the Batman theories, I don't think they'll scrap it. I think they're still going to go ahead with it.
I think they've built it up too much. They've got to go forward.
Right. I mean, they'll lose their ass if they don't.
That franchise could be hurt for many years.
Buddy, it's already hurt.
I totally agree with that. But now that's all I've got on the nerd news, my friend.
Well, brother, I think that's going to be all for the show today. We've covered a lot of good material.
Good episode. I hope that people have enjoyed it. And I've enjoyed doing it with you, my friend.
Listeners, if you will, go to Apple Podcast, give us a 5-star review, leave us a comment.
Please do.
We want to hear
Please
from you.
Please do. Share us on Facebook. Get the word out there, and we're thankful for everybody that's listening.
What was it when we first started this show, Jake? Is it Jason from Bangor, Maine?
It was from somewhere in California, from Bangor, Maine to somewhere in California. Now it's from the Emerald Isle of Ireland to Italy to Hong Kong.
Buddy, I want to thank all our listeners all across the United States. And we're getting played in 10 countries right now.
That's just wonderful.
It's amazing. We've got Germany, Italy, Ireland, Finland. I mean, we've got people listening to us everywhere. Hong Kong. You know, it's amazing.
And hopefully we're spreading some enjoyment for folks and just a little bit of slice of America.
And I'm going to be honest with you, Jason. I don't know how these people in these countries have heard about us two guys from Walker County, Alabama, listening to us.
Man,
in 10
I don't
different
know.
Countries.
I mean, we, for all we know, they're playing us on the Late Show.
You know, and we might be their nightly midnight entertainment.
You never know.
But all jokes aside, we appreciate the listens. We appreciate the likes. Listeners, we appreciate the shares. Every time you share one of our episodes, it makes me smile. And,
I love Mr. Esch will update me on how many listens we have and who all is listening where, and it makes my day.
Right. It's absolutely amazing. So, y'all, if y'all will, when you hear this episode, share it. Tell your grandma about
it.
Tell your great uncle about it. Call a stranger in the phone book if you can find one and tell them about it.
Ha 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 ha.
Don't hide your kids. Don't That's hide right. your wife. That's Tell right. them about the podcast.
We're here. Two guys in the podcast are here.
Right. Two guys in a podcast right. going to be here for a long time. All right, folks. Right. We'll see y'all.